All right, you guys, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Psalms, and Zechariah. So just be ready, all right? But today, we celebrate Palm Sunday. And we're taking a break from Matthew, except we'll be in Matthew a little bit. But today, we celebrate Jesus as King. Today, we celebrate him as such, and every day we should do that. Every time we gather, we should celebrate Jesus as King, because if we don't cry out, if we don't worship Jesus and glorify him, the very rocks, all of creation would glorify him, the hills, the streams, all of creation would cry out and worship Jesus. And so we get to participate with that. Recently, I was reading a book, and it said something about an animal that was kind of loud. Like, we have frogs in our back pond, and they're always croaking. And I think about it this way. They are singing praises to Jesus, and we get to join in their worship for him. And so, I don't understand frogs, so who's to say that they're not, right? So, anyway, I believe all of creation, maybe even the frogs in our pond, they know the truth about who Jesus is. And today, we are going to look at the Gospels. We're going to look at two verses from Psalms and one from Zechariah. By the way, Zechariah written 500 years before Jesus came, right, before the Gospels. And so, they're going to help us. You are going to help us by reading the bold sections that are on the screen so that you will join in and we will all join in with all of creation worshiping Jesus this morning, saying together, Hosanna. So if you guys would please stand with me as we read the scriptures. So go to the next slide there, Hadassah. Okay, so I will read the non-bolded parts. You guys will read the bolded parts. Matthew 21, 6 through 11. The disciples went out and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting,
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowds said,
This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee.
All right, the next one comes from Mark chapter 11, verse 7 through 10. And they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the ground, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting,
Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.
The next reading is from Luke 19, 35 through 44. And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing down their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it, and as he rode, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began rejoicing and praise God with a loud voice for the mighty works that they had seen, saying,
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven.
And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered them, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. And then he drew near to the city and he wept over it, saying, Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will be set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another because you did not know the time of your visitation. This next reading is from John 12, 12 through 19. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took the branches of palm trees and they went out to meet him, crying out,
Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.
And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, Then they remembered that these things had been written about him that had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowds went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." The next reading is from Psalm 118. 25 through 26. Save us, we pray, O Lord.
O Lord, we pray. Give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
And last reading is from Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Behold, your king is coming to you.
Righteous and having salvation is he.
Humble and mounted on a donkey.
On a colt, the foal of a donkey.
You guys may be seated. So here's the deal. I don't think we're going to be very long today. So let me get into it. And I want to draw our collective attention to a few things about these scriptures. And I pray that the Holy Spirit has already spoken to you as we read them, that we can hold on to what the Holy Spirit is spoken on, meditate on what the Holy Spirit has said to you, and feel free to ignore me unless the Holy Spirit wants to use these words in further praise and worship of Jesus. So I have a few things to say about these texts. Number one, Jesus is humble. This king that we worship is humble. I love that Jesus is not a king that the world would recognize. He doesn't use his power and position to bully, to gain for himself, or to get rich. He is not insecure in his position. He is secure in it. He is the King of Kings and rules with perfect humility and perfect meekness. And we can see that here in at least a couple ways in the passages that we read. Number one, he rides on a donkey. Not only that, like a foal of a donkey. He doesn't have a white horse, right? Praise be to Jesus. He isn't riding in, or like in ancient times, he isn't riding in on a magnificent and huge elephant that could have been brought up, right? He isn't even in a chariot that's driven by his slaves or anything like that. He rides in on an unassuming donkey. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, worthy of all praise and glory from not only us as followers, but from all the world, and not just those in Jerusalem, but everybody who's ever lived, and he rides in on a donkey. I'm not sure how that would translate into vehicles, but it would have been something that is humble, right? I had a pastor growing up. He used to always say that Jesus and the disciples rode around in one accord. Right? Have you guys ever heard that joke? It's so bad. It's such a bad joke. But it is a humble car, so who knows, right? So you remember that? Pastor Greg used to always say that joke, and so I remember it. I don't think I've ever used it in a sermon, and I don't know if I'll ever use it again, but there you go. But the second part of that we can see Jesus humble is the word that is used for humble is the word that is the same word in Matthew that is used for meek, that he's meek. Jesus is perfect in his display of meekness. He is not one who is overly impressed by his sense of self-importance. He wants people to listen to him. He wants people to be heard. And here is Jesus. He can make the rocks cry out, and yet he doesn't force everybody there to worship him. He accepts the rightful praise because he knows that the praise from the people is rightly placed. But you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't demand it. He doesn't demand it. He doesn't force the Pharisees to worship him because he's unassuming in his ways. We see what we read in Luke, that he weeps for the city of Jerusalem because he knows not everybody's going to get it. He knows that the city's not going to get it. He knows that the city's going to be surrounded and torn down, but the people are going to be dispersed as well. He wants everybody to understand and not have it hidden from their eyes. But let us not today, for us, let this be a reminder to us that we don't hide the fact from our eyes that Jesus is King. Amen? That Jesus is King, that he is Lord, that he is worthy of all our praise. And as we praise him, he is humble. He doesn't flex on us, but he's constantly inviting us in to greater things. The second thing I want to point out about this is the song that the people sung, that we sung today, would have been a known song. That's why we went back and read what we read. It would have been a known song. The song of praise that went up from the people was known. And as they said this, it would have been rehearsed through temple practice. There was an anticipation as they said, Hosanna. As they said this, give the king success. They knew this was a song of David. They knew it was a song of Zechariah. And they wanted to bless Jesus. They wanted to ask Jesus to save them, presumably from the Romans and even from the corrupt leaders who were there over them. And they wanted Jesus to be king. They wanted him to have success. The word Hosanna means, may he have success. They were expecting Jesus, that when he arrived, that they just got excited because he arrived. The one thing that I love about the show The Chosen, have you guys ever watched it? Okay, some people won't watch it. It's fine. That's okay. But there is this part in it that whenever Jesus arrives, the music score tees up. But it tees up in such a way that it lets you know that when Jesus comes, something great's going to happen. It builds anticipation in such a way. And I love that because that is how we get to be in our hearts without the soundtrack, unfortunately. The music does help a little bit. But like, we get to be in our hearts that Jesus is going to show up at any time. The songs that we rehearse, the songs that we practice, we get to get ready with. We get to practice with our praise. And then we get to be watchful, right? More than watchmen for the morning is how the Psalms put it. And we are hope-filled that Jesus can come back even today. May you do that, Jesus, if it's your will. When Jesus shows up, then you know what we can do? We're already practiced. We can sing about his success. Have you ever had anything good happen to you? And you're like, praise Jesus, or man, I really did a good job. I'll be on it. Well, okay. So some of us, that might be convicting. Some of us, it might be encouraging. But we can celebrate Jesus the more we practice our worship, the more we sing the known songs that Jesus has for us, the more that those are going to come out in the times when we need them most. We can gather together and we celebrate King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who is our humble service as a practice before Jesus. And then with that, Jesus' disciples, those who followed him, knew who Jesus was. They knew even in the weeks to come, they would have doubted for moments, but they knew that Jesus was king. But this song that was sung in faith, we can sing it in faith as well. We can sing it with the same heart that these who gathered in the streets of Jerusalem to worship Jesus sang it. We can sing it in practice and in hope that Jesus, as our king, will be our king and he will save us, not just once, but over and over again, and he will have success in doing this. Okay, two more things and then I'm done. Third thing is Jesus surprises us. Because as they knew who Jesus was and he was ushered in as king, but Jesus was not king even like this cheering crowd in the streets of Jerusalem expected. John tells us his disciples did not understand these things at first. And we also don't understand all that Jesus is doing in our midst, in our day. We don't understand all his ways. When the kingship of Jesus is ushered in, we and the crowds that gathered on that day need to let Jesus be the king as he is king. We need to allow him to be Lord, to have his way be greater than our understanding and what we can make of it. Jesus did get off the colt and clear the temple, but he didn't set up a throne and demand tribute right away like that. Instead, he withdrew from the city, he wept over it, and he went to the cross for us. And in this, as those crowds who were chanting, Hosanna, 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 they were surprised by Jesus. Let us be surprised by Jesus. And by the way, these are people who had the entire first five books of the Old Testament memorized. And they were surprised how God acted in this moment. And they didn't understand it. And later, many of those who were there came around and saw Jesus as Lord and King and worshiped him as such. So if we don't understand that all that Jesus is doing, right? And if we say, well, that's not what Jesus would do, and we don't understand, we don't let him be God, my fear is that we are going to create a God in our own image rather than letting God be God. Rather than letting Jesus be the one who was there creating the universe, speaking all things into his existence, because by Jesus' kingship, we are subject to him. We are subject to him, and he is going to surprise us because his ways are far superior to our ways. But it will be for our good, whether we can realize it in the moment or not. Jesus is in a habit of taking really bad situations, almost seeing them through to completion, and then flipping them on their heads, and we can see, oh, what they meant for evil, God meant for good. So this is my prayer as we look at this today. Allow Jesus to surprise you. Allow him to lead you and have some mystery about him. Let his ways be higher than your ways. And let us not make images of Jesus in our own mind that are just limited by what we can think and what we can feel and what we can believe. Last thing I say is this. Praise came because they knew Jesus did mighty works. That's what John tells us. As we get to this part in the gospel, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead, right? Lazarus, his good friend. And you know what happened when he did that? Word spread. People wanted to see Jesus, but they didn't want to just see Jesus. They also wanted to see Lazarus. They wanted to see if Jesus could really do this sort of thing. I'm sure there was a line for Lazarus as there's a line for Jesus, like, tell me, what was it like, right? By this time, all the people had heard that the lame can walk, that the blind can see, that lepers and other diseases had been cured all by this man, Jesus. Rumors were rampant about Jesus as he came into this city. They had heard that he preaches with power and authority, and he not only preaches with power and authority, he follows it up with his actions as well. So praise came because they knew Jesus did mighty works, and Jesus does mighty works because he is mighty. Amen. So my prayer for us is that we would see the works of God. Let us not ignore the fact that Jesus still does work in our midst. Amen. God is alive and he is active even among us today. If we praise Jesus for what we see, it will help us praise him for the works yet to come. We will start to notice that Jesus is at work in far more ways than our little humble lives can imagine. So let us continue to look for great things that Jesus is doing. He is still doing them. And from time to time, he may use you or me to do them. But for the most part, we get to be witnesses. And then as witnesses, we sing out our praise to him. And let us know that Jesus does mighty works. Let us settle that in our hearts. This is what Jesus does. He is king. We get to know, we get to expect, we get to ask for faith, even if it takes 5 years worth of prayer, right? Even if it takes longer than that, we get to still see that Jesus does them. So let us lift up our voices and join in with all creation in praise for our king. No matter what may come in the next following weeks, we know, right? Jesus goes, he's crucified, he's arrested, he's mocked, he's beaten, he's spit upon, he's crucified, and then he's put on a cross, and he died, and then he was buried, and then what? Resurrection. Jesus is king. That he is king. He is our risen king. No matter what may come, no matter what may come, this celebration that these people had, they declared Jesus as king, and even if their faith dwindled that week, I'm sure because thousands were added to him after the resurrection and after the Holy Spirit came. Thousands were added to their people daily. That many of these who sung out Hosanna, even though their faith went into a lull, came out again and worshiped Jesus saying, yep, he is the king. We do believe in his salvation. So Jesus, we thank you that we can celebrate you as king. We thank you, Lord, that you are great. We thank you, Lord, that you that we can sing your praises, Lord, that we can join in with the scriptures, not only the scriptures, but all of creation, and sing Hosanna and praise you. We can cry out. So let us do this with our words. Let us do this with our thoughts. And let us do this with our deeds as we go from here today. In Jesus' name, amen.